This is Saturday, May 2nd, 1992. Greetings, Commander.
Good afternoon. Let us get our little energies together here, please. I would appreciate a little help today. Let's get this room clear. You're in a time of tremendous impact on your beings. It's intentional. You're going to have to bear with it and get control of it yourself. I'm Yorgos Hatton. I come in light and service unto God. And sometimes it seems you're a long way from God. You live in little tight compartments. I do have to make apologies. Our efforts were that we would be able to have some kind of a speaker system for two reasons. One, so that you could hear better and it would not require shouting, which also in turn does two things. It wears out the voice, and it makes me appear angry when I'm not. And some of our listeners decided they didn't really like the tone of my anger. I get a little passionate. I get a little irritated. I rarely can even accept the label of anger. So if you'll just bear with me, we'll go with it the way we always do. And maybe we can work on it between meetings this time. We have a new throne. That was another thing that we're just trying to meet a need. And we do realize that ones who get to the back of the room, since we don't have a performing platform, it gets a little old, we realize, when you cannot see the speaker. So let's just suffer along here together and we'll work it out eventually. I call the meeting this day because the petitions are so heavy regarding the things that are coming down nationwide. You ones know exactly what's happening here. We don't need to talk about it. I made a tape yesterday about it that I believe all of you will want to hear. Mainly, I ask that you hear, if at all possible, because so much of our time is consumed in repetition that I'm finding half the group really irritated by it. And yet we will have to realize that ones come into the journals midway or at the end, or maybe not into the journals at all. Maybe they've only found a liberator or two. As things begin to unfold, let us be grateful that ones will ask, because in the confusion, a lot of denouncement begins to take place. But all of you who have been exposed to this information can only recognize it as the unfolding of those things which we have been speaking about for these months now. You watched the epitome of orchestrated judicial system at work this week. Although I will have to say before we go further that you had a jury making a decision from a lot of information and all of the rest made a decision from a few minutes of videotaping. I'm not going to be like Mr. Buchanan and defend what happened or defend those jurors, because it was very, very badly done. But I will tell you already, it is no worse done than it would be if the one was white or green or purple. As a matter of fact, we have just been hit hard yesterday by the judicial system. At this moment, I personally am so irritated that I feel like closing my books and saying we've done enough. Enough is enough is enough. And just pack her in, and guess where it'll all go? Right straight to hell. We're not allowed to do that, are we? Because that's not our commission. That's not our commitment. When we accept the banner and we accept the burden, we accept it much as ones are supposed to accept marriage, for better, for worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and health, I shall stand by ye. But by the time that you ones will have witnessed just this small lawsuit with these two ones and that Adams Street property, you will see that once a system is rolling and once one of their own stands to be reprimanded, the whole evil bunch will stick together. Once again, we've had a ruling. Usually takes three petition judges, less than 10 minutes to make a decision. On this, the facts were so blatant and so open, it took them 24 hours of hard deliberation, and then guess what they did? They would not grant a stay. They would not reprimand the judge because there was other course of action to be taken. Now, they don't tell you right off the bat what that other course of action might be. You see, you are not in the system to get assistance. You're in the system, and they keep the secrets. And they hold the key. And if you can't find the secret, TUF, goodbye and good luck. But let me tell you what this little secret is going to be. They won't have to come up with $215,000 to pay to the RTC on Wednesday. They now have to come up with $250,000 on Wednesday. But it will go into a bond to be held by the court instead of paying the RTC, which would put the RTC completely out of the picture forevermore. They would not be able to even object to anything that the Resolution Trust Corporation has done, period. Well, not only are there no funds to do such a thing, but we're going to have to play it out, aren't we? That means that we're going to have to ask a lot of patience on the part of you ones, because this is very draining, emotionally, physically, every way there is experience. And then if by the actions we take we still cannot prevail, then we shall pack it up and move it out and take it from there. That is not happy news. We will file bankruptcy again. You have no judicial system. You just have a system. And even if the system were good, does any reaction merit the burning down of your own property? Destruction, hate, and evil. That's what sets you apart from the animal kingdom. The ability to control your response. You're very, very close to funding some very major projects. I want to tell you, for this group, the news is exceptional and it's good. And you've waited and worked hard day after day after day, and it's going to come. I'd like Rick to share with us just a little bit of the response he's getting on dome structures. Will that speaker work enough to?
I think so.
I want you once to experience and share, because this represents hard labor day and night, day and night, day and night, and rejection. And we have a conference type of situation with Jack Donahue, who will be, well, let me just hold Rick just a minute. Because we've had earthquakes in the area where the chlorella ponds are, we have good news. The epicenter was right at the place where the chlorella and spirulina growing development is located, in the desert, and it didn't get a crack. You see, within a week or so, we will have a finished project proposal. This will allow us to begin to grow chlorella in very large U-shaped, horseshoe-shaped troughs. This is already a working facility for spirulina, but we're changing to chlorella. It is a better product, and we already have buyers for the product. You will know that this is one of the upcoming products for survival and to make a lot of money, because Hoffman LaRoche is going into a massive chlorella growing frenzy. Mostly theirs will be in Mexico, and so is British Petroleum. Now, why would they do this? Well, for one thing, this is where they get their beta carotene, which they fully plan to take away from you, just like they did Lead Trail. But this is not why we need chlorella. I spoke last week on the fact that you ones want to build your boxes and you want to have frequencies that will destroy this little virus this little HIV. And now they're not even sure the HIV causes any form of AIDS. Well, they're getting closer, aren't they? We can program, we can create crystal life forms. We have the want to do it, and we have the knowledge of how. And we will introduce these crystalline life forms into chlorella cells. And then we can program them to literally replace mutant cells. Meanwhile, back at the chlorella ranch, you need some income and you need some resources while you grow, while you build your domes. Now, there are ones in this room who have sort of joint intentions also, and I'm not going to go into that. We welcome any kind of cooperation that we can have. We also have a piece of property in discussion that's closer in than this particular development might be. And if we won't have to utilize the place for the motion picture studio across at Capitol Hills, and it has water, and it has been utilized already for heavy agriculture, and therefore we should not have problems getting the quantity of water necessary for this project. And you see, in this instance, you want two things. You want some things that are well protected, well hidden, and other things that you do right under the noses of God and everybody. That way you get help. But you see, most ones just want to wait until you get it all done for them. Well, it isn't going to work well that way. And I hope that you can understand the seriousness of where your nation finds itself this day. You must look beyond the things that are happening. And no one has slacked up. And one say, well, isn't there funding? Why would there be funding? Well, there's the Institute. No. Doesn't anybody understand? Gold has to be purchased with that. Doesn't really amount to a lot of funding. And ones who really understand the program really don't have much money, do they? We have two wondrous proposals sitting with us. Two outstanding persons. And they can't even afford to build their own underground shelter of any kind. They're out of work. Remember, you've got a lot of unemployment going, and nobody listened. Ones with great incomes living in areas like Beverly Hills and Bel Air now cannot afford the next meal. And yes, they want to come and work with us. One or two would even be able to work with us for food. You know, like the sign out there, I will work for food. Please understand, this is where we are. This is where your nation is. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Maybe Rick would give us some input on the greenhouses and the hydroponics and the domes. Let's just let him have a show here.
Is last few weeks, I've been speaking a lot on the phone with different state agencies, county agencies, bankers. I've taken a trip and met personally with a number of people in these organizations to talk about financing for a commercial greenhouse facility, an underground hydroponic facility, as well as low-cost domes for farm worker housing, low-income housing. The reception everywhere has been very, very good. Bar none, people I've spoken to have been interested in the project. It's as though it has struck a chord within them somehow. Many of the loan officers I was dealing with, who I had sent proposals to in advance, actually took them home and stayed up late, reading them cover to cover. And yet the financial guidelines present in the current system, in the current banking system, is so regimented and so strict and so tight that their requirements are almost ridiculous. It's a very tight financial market out there in the real world right now. However, there are a number of governmental agencies who are working on some of these things who are very receptive, particularly with regard to the low-income housing. This dome proposal for the dome facility is now in the hands of literally the key people who can make this happen for us. And I had received a flyer about 2 weeks ago just to show you and give you one example of how these things happen. It never ceases to amuse me and amaze me. I got a flyer that said public hearings for farm worker rights, farm worker housing, and farm worker health care. Come and speak how these things may be improved. Well, I didn't think it was appropriate to go and testify at that hearing per se, and I thought about it, and I didn't see anything I could do with it, so I basically just put it aside. Sure enough, 5 days later, I went to the mailbox, and there again was this thing, and I knew I was supposed to do something with it. There was a state agency involved called the Health and Human Services, I think it is, and it said, contact this man, director of the public hearings, for more information. I called him, told him that I didn't want to testify, but I wanted to get this dome project into somebody's hands. Who would I send it to if I were to do such a thing? And he said, tell me about it. So I did. And he said, this sounds like a good idea. And I said, it is. Who do I send it to? So he said, well, you don't want to testify at these public hearings for farm workers, but send it to the head council and ask that it be placed on record. Because if it's placed on record with a state agency like that, they have to act on it. If you don't place it in the record, they can ignore it. So I did that. He called me back in half an hour and he said, hey, send me one of those. I want to see what that's about. Well, I did, and a day later, literally, called me back. He had read it. Other people in his office had read it. And he said, there's a few other people I want you to send this to, concerned with the homeless issue, who are also looking for shelter. And without exception, every time I make a call, it's a call with another call, another referral, another contact, and I can literally see the doors just opening up. And that's the way it's working now, because it's in God's hands. And it's time. But it is exciting. It's not all bad news. Out there in the real world, money is very, very tight. However, I am being shown, and a way will be shown, to make this actually happen.
Well, it's better than that.
Good.
Remember when we started making proposals, we decided and we knew that we needed at least 3 for each thing that we do. You have to work within this system. Now, It's ludicrous to even perceive that out there, when nobody can work, that anybody can go pay $2 a pound for a tomato. Well, that's what they're selling for now, these very beautifully grown, vine-ripened, hothouse tomatoes. As a matter of fact, a tomato and a potato are very nearly the same thing. They are nightshade, and they are basically poison. But I suppose $2 a pound for your poison is no worse than opium. But we'll let that go. What I want to share with you ones, and asked Rick to do this so that we could share, is that our thrust had to be open. The proposals had to be done in such a way that they could be run by a bank, by any funding source at all, show some kind of a payback. It's the same way that we shall probably acquire a lot of our land. You have to play the system as if it's going to be this way today forever if you're going to take a proposal to a bank today. So land needs to be utilized for something. If you can build a church or an agricultural development that could be nonprofit or something, you've got that. But you still need to show that you will have people coming. The bottom line of the banking cartel is money. We want to know the payback. We want to know what we can expect, because we're required to put all these rules in. And it is extremely good training for you ones. It causes you to be creative in your thought processes. What is selling, why it will sell. You know, at $19 a pound or a kilo for chlorella dried, that's pretty good profit product. And at some point you can produce enough of this to even use as biomass in converting generators. You can use it for cattle feed. And by doing so, and by what we will do with it, you'll be able to cut out all of the antibiotics and these other things that are really quite detrimental to your health. So basically, this represents a start. You're going to have food. And as long as you are mentally geared for making a project proposal, you won't forget things. When you get to equipment, you won't forget things. When you get to lighting, you may as well assume you're going to have nuclear winter so that you go underground and you have the proper lighting, for instance. With these constraints as possibilities, you won't forget things. So you must have these kinds of project proposals that can be given over to anyone. And the question, of course, comes back, well, this is too good a price to be real on the domes. No, it isn't too good a price to be real. We upped the price so it wouldn't look unreal. But the nice thing is, when questioned, well, you know, with this farm housing and low-cost housing, we're having to consider going up because of the problem with land. And available land for building this low-cost housing. Is there any way you can run it into twos or fourplexes? Well, of course, that is very, very easy to do. and even fawn in here can draw a whole cluster. And you can make them big or you can make them smaller, or you can make large ones and divide them. There are also ways you can stack them. But we won't get into that now. Then for number two, we're going to have some financing coming through that's kind of locked in. And if you are going to go and present something to the Agriculture Department, it will not be the same one that you will use from which to build. Because they will not know that as you are going down to build your underground facility, you're also going to build little laboratories along the way that can be closed off and used as shelters indefinitely. So you're going to end up with like three different architectural renderings of each project. And of course, the idealistic thing to do, if you can get some good flat land, is to go down. Go into the earth. It's energy efficient. And you can cover these domes over and you can use the top for pasture or other field crops, landing strips, whatever. It's coming together. But as with everything, it takes time to build. And it takes time for proper people to hear the call and respond. And it makes it doubly hard for you ones who began and you're not really sure what you're doing, but you have a notion and a few resources and you just go for it. And I cannot express my appreciation sufficiently for you ones. This is the place. I've told you why it is the place. And what I have told you about the surrounding placements doesn't really hold a candle to what's really there. And that's scary. We don't have control of all of them. And once, even at that, once misinterpret what I say. I have one from Ashland, Oregon, who has written, should I come there? I can't afford to dig. I don't know what to do, and there aren't any underground facilities for us here. Well, I want to tell you, friends, there aren't any underground facilities for you anywhere. So if you took that list that we put in the Liberator, and you think those are for you, oh, Sheila's error, big error. You are a long way from having your ticket under there. I remind you once, if you don't have a ticket to Australia, you haven't got a place. And that includes the ones right out at the prison. Or right over here at Northrop. You see, to get you to be quiet, they don't let you know anything that you can tell, or they promise you a ticket for your family into the safe facilities if you need them. But the ones they're depending on utilizing are in Australia. So if you don't have a ticket to Australia or New Zealand, you better have indigestion. Because they've lied to you again. All the while that you thought they were getting ready to do something to give your police officers in Los Angeles, and a lot of you from Los Angeles, Norma Noblier from LA, they moved to L.A. right after the Watts riots. Norma worked in a hospital with ones who went into Watts to try to tend the people during the Watts riots. And they were shot at. no different than it was then, only this time it was more methodical, and they had to make damn sure that you ones wouldn't miss. So it was organized. And they're not done. They may close it down, but I want to tell you the plan has not worked its way through right now. But they were able to accomplish exactly what they needed to accomplish. And I want to tell you that while your president, with his lips flapping from Camp David while he was being readjusted, already had Marines out of Camp Pendleton in the LA area. What else did he do? He federalized your guard. You just had military regulations go into full-blown effect. And he would be the one that would be deciding what and where they would be, what they would do when they got there and where they would be. Now, they had trouble getting it arranged. And I'm hoping that as you ones watch that video box, that you're not gullible enough to look at what they're telling you and let it in there. Mr. Gates didn't get out of L.A. because he knew this was coming down. And everybody who were part of the plan knew that you needed Gates with that kind of power to orchestrate this thing. So what did they do? They let it get completely out of control. Well, why didn't we mobilize faster? Oh, come now. They did a superb job of letting them burn and pillage and plunder until it was out of control, and you would demand something to be done. They had paid rabble-rousers in there stirring the pot. And you had a bunch of scared policemen. Except that now they're trained by the Mossad and the KGB, and they know what they're doing. And so, 50 people die. I mean, so what? Truck driver shouldn't have gone on that street, maybe. And it had to get out of control. They planned it right down to the end of the month, the end of the week. They had to let it get out of control until there would be enough damage, because you see, they knew they could bring the masses of South Central Los Angeles under their thumb on the first of the month, because you have a welfare society that you have read. And your own Jesse Jackson said, we now have three generations of black children who know nothing but violence, welfare, and bigotry. It only takes three generations, precious ones, under the very best of circumstances. Well, why would God let these poor, and then I get really nauseated. God got you in this mess, I know. Well, he's not going to get you out except through you. You had to have an opportunity to bring the military in. It has to be that way. you are in the final times. Mr. Bush has got to bring down emergency regulations, and he has to have the power and the force to back up whatever comes next. And yet they couldn't allow it to get just absolutely and totally out of control forever. Because you would have such race riots. Already they had to hold back the white youngsters who feel just as put upon, just as hostile. And what did they do? They loaded their guns in their 4x4s and they take off and they are going to take back this town. It was never theirs to take, but they're going to take it back. Well, it makes your heart bleed, doesn't it, for one Rodney King. What did they decide? 56 blows to this man in 81 seconds. And yet a jury had to listen to all of the testimony. Of course, the fact that they moved the trial to Simi Valley, where all the retired police officers go, might have influenced it a little bit. Prosecution seemed to know what they were doing. They didn't let Rodney King on the stand, and if anybody saw Rodney King yesterday, in his brokenness, that this would have occurred. That he can presume because of him, saw a man in great, great anguish. Does that make Rodney King a saint? No. But I do find it interesting that a jurist could speak out and say, well, there were three other men in the car and they just got out and folded their hands, got arrested. The facts are the police beat them also. And one was a relative of Rodney King, and before he could testify, he had a fatal accident. All alone in a car, ran into a bridge abutment, I believe. They get rid of what they want to get rid of. And there was never an investigation. It was so obviously either suicide or a bad accident. Probably under the influence of whatever they were under the night they arrested Rodney King, I believe was the story. Twenty some odd officers standing around watching this man be beaten, and they couldn't find enough to hold him down. Well, for goodness sakes, it reminds me of the joke in the South where the black man stole so many chains that when he tried to make it through the swamp, he drowned. It's sad. But look at it for what it is. Not even for what you wish it were. It's evil at work. It is the protocols, the manifesto, the global plan 2000. First, get control of the money. Control the gold of a nation. They did it. Get control of the media and the press. And they did it. You would think, if you wanted to stop rioting, etc., that the least they would have done was ask the media not to show that picture anymore. But that's the only thing you know about the Rodney King situation is that little short videotape. So let's show it every 15 minutes in case these people forget. you know, while they're waiting in the line at the post office for their welfare check. And you see, that's also the day that the food stamps come.
Excuse me, Commander. Let me turn the tape. This is Saturday, May 2nd, 1992. Greetings, Commander.
Good afternoon. Let us get our little energies together here, please. I would appreciate a little help today. Let's get this room clear. You're in a time of tremendous impact on your beings. It's intentional. You're going to have to bear with it and get control of it yourself. I'm Yorgos Hatton. I come in light and service unto God. And sometimes it seems you're a long way from God. You live in little tight compartments. I do have to make apologies. Our efforts were that we would be able to have some kind of a speaker system for two reasons. One, so that you could hear better and it would not require shouting, which also in turn does two things. It wears out the voice, and it makes me appear angry when I'm not. And some of our listeners decided they didn't really like the tone of my anger. I get a little passionate. I get a little irritated. I rarely can even accept the label of anger. So if you'll just bear with me, we'll go with it the way we always do. And maybe we can work on it between meetings this time. We have a new throne. That was another thing that we're just trying to meet a need. And we do realize that ones who get to the back of the room, since we don't have a performing platform, it gets a little old, we realize, when you cannot see the speaker. So let's just suffer along here together and we'll work it out eventually. I call the meeting this day because the petitions are so heavy regarding the things that are coming down nationwide. You want to know exactly what's happening here. We don't need to talk about it. I made a tape yesterday about it that I believe all of you will want to hear. Mainly, I ask that you hear, if at all possible, because so much of our time is consumed in repetition that I'm finding half the group really irritated by it. And yet we will have to realize that ones come into the journals midway or at the end, or maybe not into the journals at all, maybe they've only found a liberator or two. As things begin to unfold, let us be grateful that ones will ask, because in the confusion, a lot of denouncement begins to take place. But all of you who have been exposed to this information can only recognize it as the unfolding of those things which we have been speaking about for these months now. You watched the epitome of orchestrated judicial system at work this week. Although I will have to say before we go further that you had a jury making a decision from a lot of information, and all of the rest made a decision from a few minutes of videotaping. I'm not going to be like Mr. Buchanan and defend what happened or defend those jurors, because it was very, very badly done. But I will tell you already, it is no worse done than it would be if the one was white or green or purple. As a matter of fact, we have just been hit hard yesterday by the judicial system. At this moment, I personally am so irritated that I feel like closing my books and saying we've done enough. Enough is enough is enough. And just pack her in, and guess where it'll all go? Right straight to hell. We're not allowed to do that, are we? Because that's not our commission, that's not our commitment. When we accept the banner and we accept the burden, we accept it much as ones are supposed to accept marriage, for better, for worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and health. I shall stand by ye. But by the time that you ones will have witnessed just this small lawsuit, with these two ones and that Adams Street property, you will see that once a system is rolling and once one of their own stands to be reprimanded, the whole evil bunch will stick together. Once again, we've had a ruling. Usually takes three petition judges, less than 10 minutes to make a decision. On this, the facts were so blatant and so open, it took them 24 hours of hard deliberation, and then guess what they did? They would not grant a stay. They would not reprimand the judge because there was other course of action to be taken. Now, they don't tell you right off the bat what that other course of action might be. You see, you are not in the system to get assistance. You're in the system, and they keep the secrets. And they hold the key. And if you can't find the secret, TUF, goodbye and good luck. But let me tell you what this little secret is going to be. They won't have to come up with $215,000 to pay to the RTC on Wednesday. They now have to come up with $250,000 on Wednesday, but it will go into a bond to be held by the court instead of paying the RTC, which would put the RTC completely out of the picture forevermore. They would not be able to even object to anything that the Resolution Trust Corporation has done, period. Well, not only are there no funds to do such a thing, but we're going to have to play it out, aren't we? That means that we're going to have to ask a lot of patience on the part of you ones, because this is very draining, emotionally, physically, every way there is experience. And then if by the actions we take, we still cannot prevail, then we shall pack it up and move it out and take it from there. That is not happy news. We will file bankruptcy again. You have no judicial system. You just have a system. And even if the system were good, does any reaction merit the burning down of your own property? Destruction, hate, and evil. That's what sets you apart from the animal kingdom. The ability to control your response. You're very, very close to funding some very major projects. I want to tell you, for this group, the news is exceptional and it's good. And you've waited and worked hard day after day after day, and it's going to come. I'd like Rick to share with us just a little bit of the response he's getting on dome structures. Will that speaker work enough to?
I think so.
I want you once to experience and share, because this represents hard labor day and night, day and night, day and night, and rejection. And we have a conference type of situation with Jack Donahue, who will be, well, let me just hold Rick just a minute. Let me, because we've had earthquakes in the area where the chlorella ponds are, we have good news. The epicenter was right at the place where the chlorella and spirulina growing development is located, in the desert, and it didn't get a crack. You see, within a week or so, we will have a finished project proposal. This will allow us to begin to grow chlorella in very large U-shaped, horseshoe-shaped troughs. This is already a working facility for spirulina, but we're changing to chlorella. It is a better product, and we already have buyers for the product. You will know that this is one of the upcoming products for survival and to make a lot of money, because Hoffman LaRoche is going into a massive chlorella growing frenzy. Mostly theirs will be in Mexico, and so is British Petroleum. Now, why would they do this? Well, for one thing, this is where they get their beta carotene, which they fully plan to take away from you, just like they did lead trail. But this is not why we need chlorella. I spoke last week on the fact that you ones want to build your boxes and you want to have frequencies that will destroy this little virus, this little HIV. And now they're not even sure the HIV causes any form of AIDS. Well, they're getting closer, aren't they? We can program, we can create crystal life forms. We have the one to do it, and we have the knowledge of how. And we will introduce these crystalline life forms into chlorella cells. And then we can program them to literally replace mutant cells. Meanwhile, back at the chlorella ranch, you need some income and you need some resources while you grow, while you build your domes. Now, there are ones in this room who have sort of joint intentions also, and I'm not going to go into that. We welcome any kind of cooperation that we can have. We also have a piece of property in discussion that's closer in than this particular development might be. And if we won't have to utilize the place for the motion picture studio across at Capitol Hills, and it has water, and it has been utilized already for heavy agriculture, and therefore we should not have problems getting the quantity of water necessary for this project. And you see, in this instance, you want two things. You want some things that are well protected, well hidden, and other things that you do right under the noses of God and everybody. That way you get help. But you see, most ones just want to wait until you get it all done for them. Well, it isn't going to work well that way. And I hope that you can understand the seriousness of where your nation finds itself this day. You must look beyond the things that are happening. And no one has slacked up. And one say, well, isn't there funding? Why would there be funding? Well, there's the Institute. No. Doesn't anybody understand? Gold has to be purchased with that. Doesn't really amount to a lot of funding. And ones who really understand the program really don't have much money, do they? We have two wondrous proposals sitting with us. Two outstanding persons. And they can't even afford to build their own underground shelter of any kind. They're out of work. Remember, you've got a lot of unemployment going, and nobody listened. Ones with great incomes living in areas like Beverly Hills and Bel Air now cannot afford the next meal. And yes, they want to come and work with us. One or two would even be able to work with us for food. You know, like the sign out there, I will work for food. Please understand, this is where we are. This is where your nation is. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Maybe Rick would give us some input on the greenhouses and the hydroponics and the domes. Let's just let him have a show here.
In the last few weeks, I've been speaking a lot on the phone with different state agencies, county agencies, bankers. I've taken a trip and met personally with a number of people in these organizations to talk about financing for a commercial greenhouse facility and an underground hydroponic facility, as well as low-cost domes for farm worker housing, low-income housing. The reception everywhere has been very, very good. Bar none, people I've spoken to have been interested in the project. It's as though it has struck a chord within them somehow. Many of the loan officers I was dealing with, who I had sent proposals to in advance, actually took them home and stayed up late, reading them cover to cover. And yet the financial guidelines present in the current system, in the current banking system, is so regimented and so strict and so tight that their requirements are almost ridiculous. It's a very tight financial market out there in the real world right now. However, there are a number of governmental agencies who are working on some of these things who are very receptive, particularly with regard to the low-income housing. This dome proposal for the dome facility is now in the hands of literally the key people who can make this happen for us. And I had received a flyer about 2 weeks ago just to show you and give you one example of how these things happen. It never ceases to amuse me and amaze me. I got a flyer that said public hearings for farm worker rights, farm worker housing, and farm worker health care come and speak how these things may be improved. Well, I didn't think it was appropriate to go and testify at that hearing per se, and I thought about it, and I didn't see anything I could do with it, so I basically just put it aside. Sure enough, 5 days later, I went to the mailbox, and there again was this thing, and I knew I was supposed to do something with it. There was a state agency involved called the Health and Human Services, I think it is, and it said, contact this man, director of the public hearings, for more information. I called him, told him that I didn't want to testify, but I wanted to get this dome project into somebody's hands. Who would I send it to if I were to do such a thing? And he said, tell me about it. So I did. And he said, this sounds like a good idea. And I said, it is. And he said, who do I send it to? So he said, well, you don't want to testify at these public hearings for farm workers, but send it to the head council and ask that it be placed on record. Because if it's placed on a record with a state agency like that, they have to act on it. If you don't place it in the record, they can ignore it. So I did that. He called me back in half an hour and he said, hey, send me one of those. I want to see what that's about. Well, I did, and a day later, literally, he called me back. He had read it. Other people in his office had read it. And he said, there's a few other people I want you to send this to, concerned with the homeless issue, who are also looking for shelter. And without exception, every time I make a call, it's call, another referral, another contact. And I can literally see the doors just opening up. And that's the way it's working now, because it's in God's hands. And it's time. But it is exciting. It's not all bad news. Out there in the real world, money is very, very tight. However, I am being shown, and a way will be shown, to make this actually happen.
Well, it's better than that.
Good.
Remember when we started making proposals, we decided and we knew that we needed at least 3 for each thing that we do. You have to work within this system. Now, it's ludicrous to even perceive that out there, when nobody can work, that anybody can go pay $2 a pound for a tomato. Well, that's what they're selling for now, these very beautifully grown, vine-ripened, hothouse tomatoes. As a matter of fact, a tomato and a potato are very nearly the same thing. They are nightshade, and they are basically poison. But I suppose $2 a pound for your poison is no worse than opium. But we'll let that go. What I want to share with you ones, and asked Rick to do this so that we could share, is that our thrust had to be open. The proposals had to be done in such a way that they could be run by a bank, by any funding source at all, show some kind of a payback. It's the same way that we shall probably acquire a lot of our land. You have to play the system as if it's going to be this way today, forever, if you're going to take a proposal to a bank today. So land needs to be utilized for something. If you can build a church or an agricultural development that could be non-profit or something, you've got that. But you still need to show that you will have people coming. The bottom line of the banking cartel is money. We want to know the payback. We want to know what we can expect because we're required to put all these rules in. And it is extremely good training for you ones. It causes you to be creative in your thought processes. What is selling, why it will sell. You know, at $19 a pound or a kilo for chlorella dried, that's pretty good profit product. And at some point you can produce enough of this to even use as biomass in converting generators. You can use it for cattle feed. And by doing so, and by what we will do with it, you'll be able to cut out all of the antibiotics and these other things that are really quite detrimental to your health. So basically, this represents a start. You're going to have food. And as long as you are mentally geared for making a project proposal, you won't forget things. When you get to equipment, you won't forget things. When you get to lighting, you may as well assume you're going to have nuclear winter so that you go underground and you have the proper lighting, for instance. With these constraints as possibilities, you won't forget things. So you must have these kinds of project proposals that can be given over to anyone. And the question, of course, comes back, well, this is too good a price to be real on the domes. No, it isn't too good a price to be real. We upped the price so it wouldn't look unreal. But the nice thing is, when questioned, well, you know, with this farm housing and low-cost housing, we're having to consider going up because of the problem with land and available land for building this low-cost housing. Is there any way you can run it into twos or fourplexes? Well, of course, that is very, very easy to do. And even Fawn in here can draw a whole cluster. And you can make them big or you can make them smaller. Or you can make large ones and divide them. There are also ways you can stack them. But we won't get into that now. Then for number two, we're going to have some financing coming through. That's kind of locked in. And if you are going to go and present something to the Agriculture Department, it will not be the same one that you will use from which to build. Because they will not know that as you are going down to build your underground facility, you're also going to build little laboratories along the way that can be closed off and used as shelters indefinitely. So you're going to end up with like three different architectural renderings of each project. And of course, the idealistic thing to do, if you can get some good flat land, is to go down. Go into the earth. It's energy efficient. And you can cover these domes over and you can use the top for pasture or other field crops, landing strips, whatever. It's coming together. But as with everything, it takes time to build. And it takes time for proper people to hear the call and respond. And it makes it doubly hard for you ones who began and you're not really sure what you're doing, but you have a notion and a few resources and you just go for it. And I cannot express my appreciation sufficiently for you ones. This is the place. I've told you why it is the place. And what I have told you about the surrounding placements doesn't really hold a candle to what's really there. And that's scary. We don't have control of all of them. And once, even at that, once misinterpret what I say. I have one from Ashland, Oregon, who has written, should I come there? I can't afford to dig. I don't know what to do, and there aren't any underground facilities for us here. Well, I want to tell you, friends, there aren't any underground facilities for you anywhere. So if you took that list that we put in the Liberator, and you think those are for you, oh, Sheila's error, big error. You are a long way from having your ticket under there. I remind you once, if you don't have a ticket to Australia, you haven't got a place. And that includes the ones right out at the prison. Or right over here at Northrop. You see, to get you to be quiet, they don't let you know anything that you can tell, or they promise you a ticket for your family into the safe facilities if you need them. But the ones they're depending on utilizing are in Australia. So if you don't have a ticket to Australia or New Zealand, you better have indigestion. Because they've lied to you again. All the while that you thought they were getting ready to do something to give your police officers in Los Angeles, and a lot of you from Los Angeles, Brahma Noblier from L.A., they moved to L.A. right after the Watts riots. Dharma worked in a hospital with ones who went into Watts to try to tend the people during the Watts riots. And they were shot at. No different than it was then, only this time it was more methodical and they had to make damn sure that you ones wouldn't miss. So it was organized. And they're not done. They may close it down, but I want to tell you the plan has not worked its way through right now. But they were able to accomplish exactly what they needed to accomplish. And I want to tell you that while your president with his lips flapping from Camp David while he was being readjusted, already had Marines out of Camp Pendleton in the LA area. What else did he do? He federalized your guard. You just had military regulations go into full-blown effect. And he would be the one that would be deciding what and where they would be, what they would do when they got there and where they would be. Now, they had trouble getting it arranged. And I'm hoping that as you once watch that video box, that you're not gullible enough to look at what they're telling you and let it in there. Mr. Gates didn't get out of L.A. because he knew this was coming down. And everybody who were part of the plan knew that you needed Gates with that kind of power to orchestrate this thing. So what did they do? They let it get completely out of control. Well, why didn't we mobilize faster? Oh, come now. They did a superb job of letting them burn and pillage and plunder until it was out of control, and you would demand something to be done. They had paid rabble-rousers in there stirring the pot. And you had a bunch of scared policemen, except that now they're trained by the Mossad and the KGB, and they know what they're doing. And so, 50 people die. I mean, so what? Truck drivers shouldn't have gone on that street, maybe. And it had to get out of control. They planned it right down to the end of the month, the end of the week. They had to let it get out of control until there would be enough damage, because you see, they knew they could bring the masses of South Central Los Angeles under their thumb on the first of the month, because you have a welfare society that you have read. And your own Jesse Jackson said, we now have three generations of black children who know nothing but violence, welfare, and bigotry. It only takes three generations, precious ones, under the very best of circumstances. Well, why would God let these poor, and then I get really nauseated. God got you in this mess, I know. Well, he's not going to get you out except through you. You had to have an opportunity to bring the military in. It has to be that way. You are in the final times. Mr. Bush has got to bring down emergency regulations, and he has to have the power and the force to back up whatever comes next. And yet they couldn't allow it to get just absolutely and totally out of control forever. Because you would have such race riots. Already they had to hold back the white youngsters who feel just as put upon, just as hostile. And what did they do? They loaded their guns in their 4x4s and they take off and they are going to take back this town. It was never theirs to take, but they're going to take it back. Well, it makes your heart bleed, doesn't it, for one Rodney King. What did they decide? 56 blows to this man in 81 seconds. And yet a jury had to listen to all of the testimony. Of course, the fact that they moved the trial to Simi Valley, where all the retired police officers go, might have influenced it a little bit. Prosecution seemed to know what they were doing. They didn't let Rodney King on the stand, and if anybody saw Rodney King yesterday, in his brokenness that this will have occurred, that he can presume because of him. Saw a man in great, great anguish. Does that make Rodney King a saint? No. But I do find it interesting that a jurist could speak out and say, well, there were three other men in the car and they just got out and folded their hands and got arrested. The facts are the police beat them also. And one was a relative of Rodney King, and before he could testify, he had a fatal accident. All alone in a car, ran into a bridge abutment, I believe. They get rid of what they want to get rid of. And there was never an investigation. It was so obviously either suicide or a bad accident. Probably under the influence of whatever they were under the night they arrested Rodney King, I believe was the story. Twenty-some-odd officers standing around watching this man be beaten, and they couldn't find enough to hold him down. Well, for goodness sakes, it reminds me of the joke in the South where the black man stole so many chains that when he tried to make it through the swamp, he drowned. It's sad. But look at it for what it is. Not even for what you wish it were. It's evil at work. It is the protocols, the manifesto, the global plan 2000. First, get control of the money. Control the gold of a nation. They did it. Get control of the media and the press, and they did it. You would think, if you wanted to stop rioting, etc., that the least they would have done was ask the media not to show that picture anymore. But that's the only thing you know about the Rodney King situation, is that little short videotape. So let's show it every 15 minutes in case these people forget. You know, while they're waiting in the line at the post office for their welfare check. And you see, that's also the day that the food stamps come.
Excuse me, Commander. Let me turn the tape.